The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Subject, today's title is, what does it mean to have no king but King Jesus? What does it mean, all right? And I've chosen for a text from the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 14. And it says, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Father, we thank you for your word. Ask that you would bless it, cause it to feed us, quench our thirst, fill all the voids of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. I have a video that I want you to see. Jim's going to show for us.
The United States of America is not the world's greatest nation.
The United States of America is not the world's greatest nation.
America is not
the world's greatest nation
because of its military might.
The USA is not the world's greatest country
because of its financial capacity.
Our political systems don't make us great.
Our courts of law don't make us great.
And our foreign policies don't make us great.
The United States of America is the world's greatest nation because, from the very beginning of these United States, we have been one nation under God. Our pledge speaks to it, and our currency reminds us. God is at the core of it all. And the greatest gift he offers our country is the blessed gift of freedom. Freedom to love, freedom to disagree, and freedom to work it all out. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what the Founding Fathers called it. And on a day like this, we must remember that a financial downturn, a broken relationship, or a rising crime rate cannot possibly remove the reality that every day we live, we awaken to a life that is, above all, free.
Amen. Amen. That is the topic of today's message. The Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria are all in the bottom of the ocean somewhere. They're sunk. They're not here. They're going. The pilgrims, the Puritans, they're scattered dust all over New England. They're going. Not a one of them survived. They're all gone. Our founding fathers have gone back to the grave, to dust, from whence they came. Their names are accumulating in dusty history books, forgotten. If I offered you $1 million right now to tell me the names of all the signers of the Declaration of Independence, you couldn't collect. I don't know if anybody would collect. Just gone. We're left with slogans. Give me liberty or give me death. Or part of what I use for our sermon today. No king but King Jesus. And all the things that we spoke about the last 2 weeks are just slogans. Just things a few of us radicals remember and know. But they're just slogans. The question is, the burning question, the overriding question is, what do we do now? It's our America. It's the gift that has been passed on to us. And as much as we might not like it, it is not the America of the Pilgrims, or the Puritans, or Jefferson, or Adam, or Washington. It's the America of us. We are America today. This America, we are responsible for. And the America that we pass on will be what we made it. It'll be what we pass on. We have inherited what others created and formed and shaped. And I've got to tell you that in my generation, we have done a crummy job of taking care of what was given to us. You ever get a family heirloom? You ever get something that passed down from grandma or grandpa? Or their mother and dad? Or their mother and dad? And, you know, you get something like that, you're supposed to take care of it. I've got a couple of things. I've got a ruby stick pin that belonged to my grandfather. I cherish it. I take good care of it. I got a shotgun that my pappy gave me. I take good care of it. I got a little cross that my mom used to wear. One that my grandmother used to wear. I take good care of it. I got my dad's belt buckle that doesn't have his initials on it. Somebody else's initial. He took it for collateral on a loan. The guy never paid him back. I thought it was his. That's not even his initials. But I cherish it. I keep it with my belt. We've been given this America. We need to cherish it. And we need to take care of it. We are responsible for real change. But not the change that President Obama promised us. We need a different kind of change. We need to look at heaven in America that could proclaim no king but King Jesus. And the first thing I want us to talk about that'll highlight this for us is that America must be a Christian nation. Now, I don't care what Fox and CNN or ABC or the ACLU or the ABCs or the XYZs or your mama or your uncle or your grandma or whoever said that America is not a Christian nation. That is a lie. And for America to be what you need it to be, it must be founded, as it was, on Christian values, and we must rekindle the flame of Christianity in America again. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. What our forefathers accomplished was awesome. But what Jesus is doing today is far greater. You know how I know? Because Jesus said that. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you'll do greater things. You know, we talk about the name of Jesus. We sang that song. I thought that was appropriate, Jim. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. There is great power and authority in those names and in what Jesus did. And that can change the course of our world. Talked about the lighthouse in that song. The lighthouse still stands. The lighthouse is still there. We just need to clean up some of the junk that's on the glass so the light can get through. We need to be proclaimers of the truth. We need a few, you know, the Marine Corps has a slogan. It says, we need a few good men. Well, we need a few more good men and women who will stand up for Christ and proclaim this is a Christian nation. Stop believing all this poppycock about who we are. We need a Christian nation. We need it. It's not because it makes us feel good or we can say we did something awesome. This nation needs it. The world needs Christ. The scriptures say that one time you two were in the world, you were in America, without God and without hope. And that's the way our world is today. And we need a Christ-centered nation. You say, oh, well, you're trying to create a theology. You're trying to create a theocracy where God is in control. That's what you're trying to do. Yes, I am. I am. You know why? Because it works. My voice isn't working, but that works. And it's the only thing that will work. Look around, friends. Look what the stripping away of Christianity has done to our nation. It's not a very pretty sight. We need some old-time religion, but I tell you what, we need some right-now religion, and that religion is in Christ. We don't need people with halos. You don't need a little halo. You don't need to be a little goody-two-shoes. You need to be good internally because of what Christ has done in you. I hear people say all the time, we must be holy. You know, they quote this scripture. Be holy like God is holy. You can't do that. Only God can make you holy. But you can live a holy life. You can do the right thing. You can live that way. And you can proclaim that. And when you see wrong, you say something about it. We need men and women who know God. Do you know God? Do you know Him? I mean, not something your grandma told you about. Not some history book personality. But do you know Jesus Christ? And by that, listen, if you hear me saying this and you say, what is he talking about? You don't know him. Because if you know him, you know that you know him. You know it. I heard somebody use the illustration the other day, said that if there was a community where everyone was blind and everyone was born blind and they lived blind all of their lives, and some sighted people showed up and tried to explain to them what it was like to be sighted, they couldn't get it because that's all they've ever known is blindness. Well, if you don't know God, you're like a blind person. You may not even know that you're blind, but you are. And the only thing that will let a blind person know what it's like to see is to see. And the only thing that will let you know who God really is to know Him. I almost chided myself this morning when we were about to receive communion. And I said, if you're an unbeliever, don't take communion. But you could pray this little prayer. And I recited a little prayer for you. If that's all you got going for you is a little prayer, friend, you're in trouble. You've got to be born again. God's Spirit needs to dwell in you, and you need to know it. Listen, I know it. People say, how do you know you're saved? And people respond, well, because the Bible says so. Well, yeah, but that's not enough. I know I'm saved because what happened to me? I got changed. Have you been changed? If you hadn't been changed, you don't have the real thing. You got something, and it's not bad, but you didn't get the real thing. We'll say, well, Pastor, what do I do? You do what everybody else did. You turn your life over to Him. You say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. I believe in you like I believe in Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson and the Nina Pinta and the Santa Maria and Columbus and a whole bunch of them, the Puritans. Not that kind of belief, but a belief where you put your trust in God. Say, God, I don't care what happens to me, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm going to believe in you and trust in you. That's knowing God. Where you become ambivalent about your life. Heard a story where a guy said, he was in a communist nation when communism was ruling, and he had written a book. And in this book, he had criticized the communist system. And they had come after him and threatened to kill him. And he had put out some audio tapes, evidently, that a lot of people had gotten. And he said, go ahead and kill me. See, the best thing you could ever do. Because if you kill me, my blood will make me a hero. And to see all those tapes I got out in those books, more and more people will listen to them and read them. Just go ahead and kill me. And the guy who was telling the story said, what do you do with somebody like that? You know? He said, just go ahead and kill me. And that's the way we need to live our lives. We're so... And I'm going to use something, and it's a slang, and you forgive me for it, but I think you'll have... We're so hell-bent on what we want. Instead of being heaven changed into what He wants, that we miss the whole thing. It's not about what you want. It's about His will being accomplished in your life. And when His life is will is accomplished in your life, then His will be accomplished in other people's lives. And when it happens in other people's lives, your neighborhood will change, your family will change, and the whole blooming country will change. Somebody say amen here? Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Yahoo. We need men and women who hate evil and the will to speak up and say no. No! We're not going to put up with this any longer. That's enough. You know, we talk about writing letters to congressmen. You want to see things change in this town? Just write some letters to people who are making money off of evil. Enough people get enough letters, might put a fear of God in them. Might change. So what could one person do? Well, he got a guy in this town by the name of Dudley Smith. He got himself elected to the city council, and he made a difference. You know, the bars in this town closed down earlier than they used to because of Dudley Smith? Because he got involved in the system and said no and made things happen? You can do it. But there needs to be a fervent desire on your heart to say no. And you need to stamp it out where you see it, wherever you see it. America is kind of like a picture of this scripture we read, which says that people come from every language and nation and tribe. That's who we are. What a collage we are. We are. Look around. They're so weird looking. You go to France, everybody looks like a Frenchman. You go to Italy, they all look Italian. You look at us, man, what a melting pot we are. But the common thing that makes us a great nation is our faith in Christ. And we need to proclaim that. We need men and women who are not educated by universities, but people who are educated by the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit of God saying? I love that this morning. We had two people testify that God spoke to them. Whoa! Your name's not even Elijah. And heaven forbid you're women. God speaks to women? Whoa! That's what it's like in the kingdom. That's not male or female. Or free or slave or Jew or Gentile. There's only one. It's one Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's who we are. We need people to get wisdom from on high. What does God have to say? You know, I got a lot of ideas. I don't trust my ideas. My ideas get me in trouble. They do all the time. Especially about spiritual things. I tell you a little formula. I hate formulas, but I'm going to give you a formula. If you can figure out exactly what God's will is for you to do, just do the opposite. Because if you figure it out, you're wrong. But if you hear God speaking to you, and you know God's voice, follow that voice. That's wisdom from on high. That's God speaking. I love Solomon. When God told him, he said, what do you want, boy? You name it. It's yours. Most of us say, How's about a couple of million bucks? Oh, make that four or five. Give me 10. Give me 20. Give me $100 million. Give me health. Give me good looks. You know? I got mine already, but some of you might have to work on it. You know, give me, give me, give me, give me. You know? But old Solomon said, okay, this is what I want. I want wisdom. I can almost see God step back three steps. Whoa! You want wisdom? Well, I'll tell you what, son, you're going to have it. As far as we know, other than Jesus Christ, the wisest man ever to walk the face of the earth. And because you didn't ask for all these other things, come on, somebody shout, because God said, I'll give you everything else. If you ask for God's wisdom, He'll give you everything else. See, that was my problem. I wanted everything the world had to offer. And I spent my life trying to get it. I mean, I craved wealth and all the things that it could buy. And I ended up on a trash heap of life. And there, I discovered Jesus Christ. And I decided to follow Him. And I didn't know about asking for wisdom, but that's all I wanted was Christ. And guess what? He added all those things unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The wisdom that comes from God. We need strength. People of strength. How strong are you? Are you stronger than the Lord? Are you some kind of 98-pound weakling? Gail is and I work on a little project. She asked me to do some teaching about spiritual warfare and how to pray. And I said, okay, here's the project. You find some things for us to pray about. So when I teach you, we'll have some stuff to pray. And she's working on that. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to get in some fights? Some of you shaking your heads because you never ran across a demon. Eyeball to eyeball. If you ever did, you wouldn't be so quick to get in that fight. But we need to do it. We need to be fully equipped. We need to do what needs to be done. A lot of what's wrong in our world is demonic forces. So, oh, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't need to believe it. Thank you. It's true. Nonetheless. Bob, were you at my house the night that demon-possessed guy showed up? With the guy who threw the cane in the chair? Were you there that night? That was wild, wasn't it? That was a lot of years ago. And a demon-possessed guy showed up at my house at a Bible study. I was minding my own business, teaching the Bible. He showed up. Whoa, what a night. He threw a cane across the room. It was a miracle. It didn't break my window. It was only God did it. Picked up a metal chair, hit one of the guys over the head with it, bent the chair. Didn't put a mark on that guy. It took six men to grab that guy and throw him on the ground and hold him. That's how strong he was. That's spiritual warfare. I had a lot of strength. I prayed every prayer I knew. Prayed them twice. And a little lady showed up. She was about 98 pounds. She weighed 98 pounds. But inside, she was a muscle-bound giant of a spirit. She came in. She took that demon-possessed guy and laid him out by herself and prayed for him. Guy got delivered that night. Next day, now that was a Friday, that Sunday, came to church and received Christ into his life. See, people can be changed. Now, don't pray for that to happen. But if it happens, we can handle it, all right? But we need to be strong enough to run in and do what needs to be done. We ended up with about five cop cars outside the house. Somebody called the cops. I think it was me. I was worried. You got to know God's spirit and got to follow Him. You know, do you want a Christ-centered Christian America? This is what it's going to take. You know, just because we show up and have a few great little songs and get happy and go to lunch and enjoy each other's company, it's not going to do it. It's going to take tearing down Satan's strongholds. And it's going to take powerful men and women of God in order to do it. I got to tell you. I was sitting here thinking, and this morning, and I was going over my notes, and I knew some of the things I was saying. You know what I told God, Jim? I said, God, I don't want to talk about this. As soon as I bring up the subject, sure as heaven is around and hell exists, it will be fighting. It happens every time. The devil will show up. You see how strong we really are. So don't be surprised if something wild starts happening. But we... It got my voice. Hands all over the floor this morning. Hallelujah. You know, this is when it gets to be fun. It's like, you know, it ain't no fun going into battle, but it's a whole lot of fun walking out with the spoils of victory. That's the fun part. That's the fun part. We need some men and women who will take positions of authority. You need to start using your authority. Say, well, I'm just a little weak Christian. Well, it's about time you grew up, friend. It's about time you started taking your rightful place in the kingdom of God and stop breathing good spiritual air. I'm serious. What's wrong with our nation in the world is because God's people forgot who they were. You know what Jesus said? Don't do anything until you receive what? What the heck you need power for if you're not going to use it? We have a powerful armed forces in this nation. We got planes and bombs and guns. You know what they're for? To use them. And in the spiritual realm, we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do what? To make war, to use them. Most of our spiritual weapons are full of spiritual dust and rust. We need to take our authority in our homes. We need to take our rightful positions in our homes as husbands and wives and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and speak up for what's right. Be a warrior for Christ. Paul said, I fought the good fight. You know what most Christians would say when they're getting ready to die? You know, I've had a lot of fun. I mean, what have you done for Christ? We don't get saved by doing something, but you get saved for a reason. Everybody likes Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. Hallelujah. You know, it's of faith. It's not of yourself. Glory to God. Not of works. I'm not working, so no one will boast. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo, that's great. I love it. One of my favorite scriptures. Nobody bothers to read the next one. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, we're supposed to be doing something. I appreciate what some of the things that are being done, but there needs to be more. We need to be working on an individual basis. Doing what we can in our homes, in our communities. Be community activists. You don't like what you don't like what Acorn's doing? You don't like it? You know what they are? Community activists. We need another one. We'll just call it Jesus. We'll be community activists for Jesus. And do something. Be a part of the kingdom and do what needs to be done. Make them worry about you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to live your Christian life in such a way that every morning the devil wakes up and wonders, what in the world are you going to do today? What are you going to do to mess up his toys and his people? Make him worried about his kingdom. Instead of us worrying about ours. We're worried about the church. We're worried about America. Is it going to last? Is the economy going to make it? You know, are they going to kill off the old folks, you know? What are we going to do? Are they going to take our hospitalization away from us? Are they going to give us some kind of crazy United States post office type medical care? You know, we're all worried about it. I know all of you. I've talked to all of you just about in this room about it. Everybody's, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? How's about making the devil worry for a while about what we're going to do? What are we going to change? How are we going to impact his realm? That's what we ought to be doing. That's why I'm preaching this morning. You know what? I was going to preach. If I had to get down to crank this thing up to so high, it would blow the doors out. Because I will not let the enemy have victory over me or my family. Especially when he comes to king. Are you that way? Are you that way? We'll be one of some kind of easy religion. Somebody just to pat us on the head. Oh, everything's going to be fine. Your dreams are going to come true. Everything's going to be great. Just got to think some good, positive thoughts. Just think about it. You know, God loves you. God cares about you. God's not going to let you fall. You just trip yourself up. You don't have to let God let you fall. You're just tripping ourselves up as a church and as believers. Let me tell you what, friends. Do you want an America like it was when our founding fathers had it? If that's what you want, we're going to have to fight to have it. And I'm not talking about guns and ammo. I'm talking about spiritually. The Puritans and the Pilgrims came here because they wanted Christ-centered lives. Our founding fathers believed in a Christ-centered nation. And we've given it up. And all we do now is sit around and cry and moan and complain. Great testimony this morning, Gail. Great testimony. You were right, 100%. I love it when God speaks. As soon as you were speaking, I heard the Holy Ghost say it loud and clear, exactly what you were saying. Instead of being mad, start loving these people and loving them into the kingdom and praying them into the kingdom and doing something. Send them love letters. You send them a letter that tells them what no good, dirty, rotten scoundrels they are, it goes in the trash can. You send them a letter that tells them about how you're praying for them. And you care about them. And God loves them. And God cares about them. They may think you're a loony tune, but they don't throw that one away so quick. I've written two letters to people like that. And I've given it to them. Both those people are now in heaven, I believe. And their surviving spouse told me that they kept, both of them, kept those letters in the nightstand next to their bed. The power of letters that tell about Jesus Christ. Write a letter. If you're too shy or scared to say something, write a letter. Write a love letter. It'll help change people's lives. We need powerful people in the church, in our community, in our homes, and in the church. Now, I've got to tell you, I sound like I'm beating up on a sheep. I'm not beating up on you guys. I'm trying to encourage you. I believe this is an awesome church. I believe some of you people are just awesome. I really do believe that. You're doing some great things. For a little old church, we sure get a lot done. I mean, I love it when I call for fasting and prayer and everybody joins in. That's awesome. You know, y'all fasted for 21 days. That was awesome. We prayed for 30 days in November last year. That was awesome. We've done some really great things. That's awesome. But you know what? You can't live on yesterday's manna. You know? We need fresh bread every day. We need fresh battles to fight every day. Second thing I want to talk to you about. You know, I was planning on preaching a short sermon because I knew my voice wasn't very good. But, you know, is it me or is it getting better? Isn't it getting better? I tell you, it's getting better. I hear it getting better. Amen. I might preach for a couple hours. That's the way they did it. That's the way they did it for the Puritans. Helen, George, get your stick out. Yeah, get the one with the feather on one end and the brass knob on the other. Some of you have no clue. That's because you weren't here. Get the CD. You'll listen to it. The second thing I want to talk about is America must be the people of God. We must be the people of God. I want to go back to Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And this is the part I like. And with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers. The signers of the Declaration said, no king but King Jesus. The world is against America. The world is against America. From without, by those foreign powers who would fly planes into the Twin Towers, who would do all they could to destroy our economy, didn't know the latest thing that their enemies are playing with. You know all this wonderful electronic gadgetry we like? You know, the internet, you know, GPSs and all that? They just, Korea just got blitzed with electronic terrorism and wiped them out. They're still trying to recover from that, I understand. So don't be surprised if something starts hitting some of our toys. Maybe, God forbid, maybe your TV wouldn't even work. What if they hit the cable TV? Oh my gosh. Whoa! And our rabbit ears don't work anymore. Oh my heavens. These foreign powers are against America and they're against the Church of America. You know, don't believe this tripe that Islam is just a friendly, fuzzy bunch with a few radicals. They're not a friendly, fuzzy bunch. And they're not praying to the same God that you and I pray to. And the reason I know that, because I know what they believe. They don't have any love for fellow man. They hate Israel. If for no other reason, I know that they're not the God that we serve. They're not praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We've been told to do that. Our God is a God of love. But he's not a pushover. Alright? He's not a pushover. We have war from within by those who are trying to destroy our nation. You know, I told you that I was going to pick on some issues that I thought were important. You see all this thing with our economy? And all this, the bailouts? You know what that's about? Money and power and control. That's what it's all about. And it's an attempt to destroy our nation. And you better realize that. That's what it is. Say, well, nobody would do that. I don't know whether they're doing it consciously or subconsciously, but I believe they're being controlled. And that's what they're trying to do. And we need to do something about it. You know something I've discovered? I've discovered that money has power. The more you got, the more power you got. You can do stuff with money. If everybody in here was millionaires, you'd be surprised what we could do with everybody started chipping in a couple of million bucks. We could get some things done. We don't need it. We can work on the spirit, but money does a lot of things. And when they start stripping away your money from you and you don't have it, you just watch how things can get to be different. You know, and my guess is that in this room, every one of you have been affected by our declining economy. In one way, shape, form, or another. If you got any stock, you got any savings, you've been hit. You can't live off the interest off your CDs anymore. When you get, what, 0.005% on your interest on your CD or something like that. And then you're scared to death to put it anywhere because who would have thought AIG would go belly up? The biggest corporation in the world. Who would have thought that General Motors would go down and end up with Government Motors Corporation? Who would have thought that would happen? I'm telling you, there's a war within. Who was it? I believe Winston Churchill said that America could never be beaten by outward forces, but that she could be beaten from within. And that's some of the things that are happening right now. And you need to know it. You need to pay attention. There is a war from below against this nation of ours. It's Satan's schemes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. Drugs. Let me talk about drugs for a minute. I am very fortunate that I grew up in a time where drugs didn't exist. Our drug of choice was whiskey and cigarettes. I'm not proud to tell you this. I've only tried drugs one time. And I was 31 years old when I did it. Stupid me. I was in college. That was about a year before I got saved. That's how stupid I was. And I tried it. Once I tried it, I decided that wasn't for me. It didn't work for me. But a lot of people aren't that way. They believe it's for them. You see all this murder that's going on in our nation? You know where the engine that's driving it? Drugs. It's drugs. You watch the news. You know what keeps the economy of Afghanistan going? Drugs. You know what keeps the economy of Mexico going right now? Drugs. You know what'll capture your children and your grandchildren? Drugs. So how are you going to stop it? They declared war on drugs. Anybody want to guess how that war is going? You know what'll do something about drugs? People get born again and get delivered and get set free. Had a guy on TV last night. He was on Huckabee. It was on Huckabee. I think he'll be on tonight if you get a chance to look at it. He's a former NFL football player, hooked on cocaine. Some of his teammates told him about Jesus. Big old professional football player asked Jesus into his life. Guess what happened to his cocaine habit? It's gone. He's pastoring the church right now. You saw it. He's pastoring the church right now. God can change someone. I met a guy one time, came to a church I was in. He came and gave his testimony. And he said, I was hooked on drugs. I was hooked on alcohol. I was hooked on all these things. I was living in the streets of New Orleans. And somebody came and told me about Jesus and changed my life. And you know what happened? My children got a new daddy. And my wife got a new husband. And my community got a new man. And I'm here today to tell you about the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus can do it. But it won't happen until God's people start telling people about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what. Let me give you a little secret. I'm going to take something away from you. I'm going to take one of your spiritual lollipops away from you. Here's one of your spiritual lollipops. We do it all the time. Kathy, I'm going to use you as my living example here. Let's suppose that Kathy's a sinner and she doesn't know God. That's not true. God loves you, honey. You know God loves you. Yeah. That won't do the trick, friends. You got to use the J word. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. It's just too easy to say God loves you. Everybody tells that. For heaven's sakes, the president of the United States says, God bless you. And I think some of the guys that have been president would know God from a post hole. But when you say Jesus loves you, and Jesus cares about you, he shed his blood, and you can be set free. Would you like to be set free? Amen. Jesus can do it. It's the only way, honey. There's a lot of people who have a lot of gods, but Jesus is the only true way. And you start telling them about Jesus Christ. That will change somebody's life. Don't you go running around out of here telling people God loves them. You tell them that Jesus loves them. You can tell me God loves you. I know what you're talking about. But to the unbeliever, they need to hear about Jesus. I had a guy told me, used to go on college campuses, they could hang God loves you signs all over campuses and nobody would ever touch them. They'd be on the wall till they rot. But every time they put a sign up that said, Jesus saves and Jesus loves you, it wouldn't last through the night. They'd tear it down. You know why? Because the devil himself knows the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Perversion. They got a new thing going now. They might put me in jail if I start talking about homosexuality. But that's all right. You'll come visit me, won't you? You bring me some good food? Hallelujah. Being there with us. You know, the truth is the truth. And we need to proclaim the truth. People need to hear it. I could go on. I'm not going down that list. The list is too long. Jesus is able to make war. And he's the only one that can give the victory. That's what that scripture said. Back that up for a minute, Chip. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He can do it. He's over drugs. He's over Satan. He's over demonic forces. He's over pornography. He's over homosexuality. Not you, but him. but Him in you gives you power to proclaim His name so that He can do the work that He wants to do. Jesus has an army, and it's the church of the living God. Those who are called, those who are chosen, those who are faithful. Are you called? Have you heard God's voice call you? I have. I've heard God call me. I can remember it as clear. I can see it as clear as I see you. I saw a vision of God pointing His finger at me in a church service that didn't believe they could ever see God. And He said, I want you. And I crumpled like a rag in a pew. And nobody knew. I didn't cry little cute tears. What was I doing, Pat? I was sobbing. I was crumpled, and the pastor was trying to go on with the service, and I disrupted the whole service. People looking at me, what's the matter with him? And then they figured somebody died. They came over and gave me condolences. Somebody who died. Somebody died, all right. It was the old me. The pastor came by and said, Brother Morris, are you okay? I wasn't but about 2 months old in the Lord. He said, no. He said, what's the matter? I said, I just saw Jesus. And he said, I want you. I don't know what to do. He didn't say it, but I know what he's thinking. Well, that couldn't have been Jesus because we don't have that kind of stuff happening around here. I don't want to pick on him. He was a good guy. Just a little theology was a little messed up, that's all. But hearing God's voice. God says His sheep will hear His voice. Are you listening? Do what Jim did. Take the blooming day off of work. Lose a day's pay. Go get in a place where you can hear the Lord. Listen to His voice. So how do you know it's Jesus and not you talking? You won't have to ask that question once you hear the voice of God calling you. Those who are called. Those who are chosen. You know what I thought about chosen? So what does that mean? You know what that means? It means God's got faith in you, beloved. He's got a lot of faith in you. Remember the old joke when Jesus got back to heaven? And he told all the angels up there and he said, this is what I'm going to do. I've turned everything over to the people down there. And they asked him, you got another plan? They didn't think it would work. Sometimes I wonder. Those who are faithful. Those who put their hand to the plow and won't turn back. Are you turning back? Have you turned back? Have you gotten mad at God? Have you gotten wimpy in the spirit? Have you just decided it wasn't working? Well, it doesn't work. I've been tithing for 10 years and I didn't get rich like somebody else got rich. I just quit. I prayed enough, didn't work. Pray some more. Fast some more. Do something different. You've been given $100, give $1,000. You've been given $1,000, give $10,000. You've been praying, standing up, pray laying down. You've been praying, laying down, staying up. Do something different, for heaven's sakes. If it's not working, do something different. Until it begins to work for you. Don't do what I do. Heaven's to Betsy. Don't do what I do. I'd wreck you. Do what God wants you to do. But do something for Christ's sake. For America's sake. We all got excited last couple of weeks. Love those patriotic songs, Jim. God bless America. We sang all those songs, you know. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I'm not singing bad because of my voice, my throat. I just can't sing. But we love them. We see the red, white, and blue flag, right? And everybody gets chill bumps. All of y'all had dry in your eyes last week. But it takes more than that. It takes Christ changing your life and changing the lives around you to give us the America that we really want. We are Gideon's army. We're the chosen fruit. I don't believe we're ever going to see a revival where 300 million Americans are going to get excited. But I'll take 10%. 30 million excited. That'll get something done. Maybe it's just a remnant. But that remnant can do a lot. We're Gideon's army. We're the stones in David's slingshot. Holy Ghost just wheels us around his head so we're dizzy and turns us loose. And we can destroy the giants that are in the land. So, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. I'm not strong enough yet to kill any giant. I'm so glad David didn't feel that way. You know why David, you know, I don't want to preach that sermon, but why was David so confident? Why? Because he had done it before. The bear, the lion, he said, and your carcass will be eaten by the birds this day, Mr. Giant, and knocked him out. And then everybody got brave. Maybe if you kill a few giants, the rest of us would get some courage and follow you. Come on. This is good preaching. The world does not need America. What the world needs is America's God. I want to say that again, because you didn't hear me. I said the world doesn't need America. What the world needs is America's God. Amen. I love those Yahoos. Those of you who are guests, it's just a crazy thing we do around here. I got tired of listening. Amen. I thought we ought to have a few Yahoos, and some of them believe me. I don't know. So I get a Yahoo every once in a while. I like it. The last thing I want to talk to you about is America must put its trust in God. We need to put our trust in God. Let's look at Revelation 5, verses 4 and 5. This is John the Revelator writing. He said, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Oh, man. I'd love to have been there with John. I'm looking forward to seeing this one day. He said, see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Our King is able. Our God is mighty. And we need to put our trust in God and believe in what He can do. Our tanks will be rust. Our planes will have flat wheels and broken wings and laying on some tarmac somewhere. Our army will be in disarray. But we don't trust in horses, and we don't trust in chariots, and we don't trust in Washington, D.C., and Mr. Obama, or the Congress, or the judicial system, or anybody else. Our faith and our trust is in God and in the God we serve. Why? Because He is able to overcome everything else. He is. And He's not able because I said it. He is able because He is. And He can do it. He can do great and wonderful things. God gives us the victory, not our generals, not our economists, not all the smart people in Washington, D.C. By the way, they're not there anymore. They left. I can't find a smart one up there anymore. You've got to look hard to find them. Maybe there's a remnant. Our national anthem is not an eagle. It's a lion. Hallelujah. You think about that for a minute. You know, we get all excited when we see the eagle. When's the last time you got excited when you saw the lion? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, my heaven. I'm not scared of no eagle. I've seen eagles. I've been up in Alaska. Some of you going to trip, you're on a trip. You'll see so many eagles. They look like sparrows. They're all over the place. They won't hurt you. They're not strong enough to pick you up and carry you off. If you were dead, maybe they could get on you. But that's the only way they can get to you. But I tell you what, a lion, don't you be petting no lion. You'd be like me, running around one arm. If there's anything left of you. A lion's got power. And that's who our emblem is. Not a dinky bird, but a powerful lion. That's the emblem of America. If the church gives up, America's doomed to fail. Did you hear me? If America gives up, if the church gives up, America's doomed to fail. We won't make it. I'm not the dumbest rock you're ever going to run across. I got too much education. I've studied. I've got a great degree from a great university, and I've been to seminary. And I've been pretty successful. And doing some brainy stuff. I'm a computer guru. You know, I understand. Of course, it's, I hadn't been in a while, so it's getting away from me. But I've made a truckload of money working with computers. I mean, I'm not some idiot. I mean, I read read magazines most of you don't even buy. Money magazine. I read it. I mean, I know. But you know what? I can't figure a way for us to get out of the mess we're in. I think it's so blooming convoluted, there's no way out of it in the natural mind. So you know what? The only way out is through the mind of Christ. We got somewhere in the neighborhood, it doesn't matter, if you're just close, it won't matter, somewhere between $11 and $13 trillion in debt. That's like you making $50,000 a year, but you've been spending, like Michael Jackson, $500 million a year. I mean, it ain't going to work. You can't pay that off. The only way that's going to happen is if God shows up. I'm not prophesying this, but others have prophesied. Don't be surprised when this thing falls down around everybody's ears. Financially. It just might fill up the churches. You just might be able to get to talk to some lost folks about Jesus. You may not have any money. But David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Hey, I like that, Jim. I just saw what you put on the screen. You got a lion up there. That looks cool. I saw him on the overhead. Wow. Man, he looks hungry. You know, God is able to do great and wonderful things. But we need to be the hands and feet and voice of God. Failure won't be an act of God. You know, when things go bad, what they say? It was an act of God. The failure won't be an act of God. It'll be the inaction of the church of God. It's us sitting on our duffs, doing nothing. Oh, just preach us some cute little sermons, Pastor. Make us feel good. I want to feel good. I'd like to preach. I'm tired of preaching hard sermons. I like to preach some good ones every once in a while. I'm going to tell you, when I walk out of this building, I said, oh, God, I hope I wasn't too hard on them. Because I can't. I'm a wimp. I hate to rub you fur the wrong way. I do. I really do. Most of what I'm telling just comes right off my heart as I'm preaching. You know? Hallelujah. I tell you what. History may be on our hearts. We talked about history for 2 weeks. History might be on our hearts. But the future is in our hands. It's in our hands. Not somebody else's hand. I don't know about the other churches. I don't know about the other people. All I know is about us. I know about us. And I believe we can make a difference. I really do believe that. But I think it's going to start where it has started, on our knees, on our face, before God. A willingness on our heart to be used of God. A willingness to be bold enough to mention the name of Jesus. A willingness to talk to people. Say, well, we can't change the whole world, Pastor. You just have to change your world. That'll be enough. What about your kids, your grandkids, your moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and neighbors and friends? We can make a difference with them. King Jesus is our banner, and He gives us the victory. Amen. Amen. I want you to see a video, and I think this will sum it all up for us.
Hey, we're almost done. Just hang in there a couple more minutes. Here's the most important thing about this service. The point of this service and every service we do here is simple. It's never meant to be an end, but a beginning. There's a feeling of conclusion you have right now in your heart. We know it. It's not bad. It's not evil. It just needs to be divinely transformed into a belief that says, when this service ends, my Christian faith begins. You see, the point is not to only receive all that this church has to offer. The point is to receive it, then give it away during the week. The point is not to make our church more exclusive, but to make Jesus available to everyone we brush up against. The point is not to pit the sacred against the secular, the Sunday against the Monday. The point is to see all of life, our church lives, our business lives, and our family lives, as divine opportunities. The point is not for you to get caught up in your own story. The point is to become fully alive to the grand story that God is telling through you. Here's the point. Church is not about church. It's about living outside these walls. By the way we interact with people, we can and we will become the aroma of Jesus. And people won't just hear it, they'll feel it. They'll feel that their lives are not hopeless because you stink of hope. They'll feel the companionship of the Almighty because you are walking with them. And they'll feel, some for the first time in their lives, the sweet aroma of being loved. So go, be loved by God, and give that love away freely to all. Because there are people in your current circle of relationships who are gasping for one breath of Christ's life. And you're it. That's the point.
Amen. Stand up. Hallelujah. Is that powerful or what? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what you've done in this building. It's been evident that you're here. Lord, I think if I preach for another hour, you could heal me 100%. But I don't know if we could take it. I don't know if I could give it and they could take it, Lord. But I thank you for being here, Lord. And I know that you spoke to our hearts. And we trust in you, Lord. Our faith is in you. And I ask you to take this message. And Lord, don't let us forget it. Father, stir it up inside of us. Father, don't let us sleep. Don't let us get any rest. Don't let us have any peace until we decide to do something for you about this treasure that you've given to us, this great gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to make a difference. Lord, we realize our own frailty and our own weakness, but we also know that your word says that when I am weak, then I am strong. So Lord, we want to be weak in you, that you might be strong in us. Father, cause us to be able to make a difference in America. We love this place, Lord. We're thankful that we're here. Help us to make a difference, that we can bring the gospel, just as Paul did to heathen nations. Let us bring the gospel of Christ to our own heathen nation, Lord, that's turned away from you. Help us, Father. And Lord, as we go our separate ways, I ask you to protect us, keep us safe, give us honey for the journey, give us a battle to fight, give us a buddy to fight with us, and Father, give us a victory that we can come back next time and share the great thing that you've done in our lives. We love you, Father. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. If you're here this morning and if you came in these doors and maybe you thought you knew the Lord, and by the time I got finished preaching and the Holy Spirit got finished talking to you, you realize that you don't, I want you to come see me before you leave, all right? Because I want to talk to you about Jesus a little bit more and pray with you, okay? I'm not going to get you to walk the aisle, but I just want you to talk to me before you leave. We have some refreshments in the back. Make yourself at home, and we'll go from there. Are you giving me a signal? Oh, yeah. Yes, Mike. Uh-huh. Amen. 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 That's true. That is true. It's incredible. I heard my voice getting better. And that's what my proclamation was, that it would get better throughout the morning. That's what I was believing. And Father, I just thank you. God, thank you for the demonstration of your power. Thank you, Lord. Father, I declare that no one will walk out of this building without receiving you today into their lives. Let it be done, Father. Everyone in this room agrees to that, Lord. We all agree that we don't want anyone to walk out of here without knowing Christ. Maybe they've been in this church for years, but today might be the day that they said, I believe that Jesus lived and that he died and that he rose from the dead, and that my sins can be forgiven, and I can have the newness of life. I believe it right now. I believe it. As best, just say this, as best I know how, I believe in Jesus, and I trust him right now for the rest of my life. In His name, Jesus, I pray. Amen, 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 amen. If you prayed that, Miss Rose was telling me, because one of the things I do for